You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 171 of Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network.
This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Sophia, I know that there's always so much going on at the Wessa Trade Show. What event are you looking forward to the most at August Wessa Trade Show?
There are a few of them. So the board has actually just signed off on a very fun new event that we will be hosting. It will be a nitrogen ice cream party on the 11th floor. Of course, in August, you know the weather, it's going to be hot, so we may be needing some ice cream. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's just another fun activity and a active event to kind of mingle and have fun with all the other attendees. But then, of course, we also have the opening night party, and this time we will have lots of giveaways to hand out. And then, of course, an event that we care about a lot is the Wessa Benefit Golf Tournament at Topgolf to support National Little Bridges Rodeo Association.
How fun! What a great time that will be at Topgolf. Where and when can people sign up to play?
So they can actually sign up now. You can just email me or DM us at Wessa Trade Show on social media, or you can call the office. Or if you want to make it easy, just download the form from the event schedule at wessatradeshow.com. It out and send it back to us, and you will be in for a very fun event this August.
Nathan Wee is part of the family behind Wee's Western Wear, helping it to grow into one of Canada's leading Western retailers through innovation, community, and a strong brand identity. Nathan, welcome to the show, and let's start with how Wee's Western Wear got started.
Yeah, so I guess the origin story of Wee's, again, that's the name of my grandfather on my dad's side. And when he came to Canada, he came from China. He was an immigrant from the south of China, from the Guangdong province. And he came here in the late 1940s, actually. And so when he came here, he actually didn't come, you know, as a, you know, to open a store or to have any sorts of ambitions in this industry, but he did have some skills as a cobbler. So back in China, he was sort of in his town or village known as the person to go to when it came to, you know, fixing your shoes or repairing leather. He learned that from one of his relatives, and he brought that skill with him over when he came from China. And so he actually came to Canada from China. He started as a boot repair shop, and that was sort of in the early, you know, 1950s. And as things sort of developed, you know, he built a name and a reputation for himself. Famously, he actually really got his first big break, I suppose, by working on the local police force's boots. And the word spread that he did very good work. Back in those days, it was much easier to repair your boots than to buy a new pair. I think it's a little different in today's day and age, but that's really kind of how he got his first opportunity, first break. And from there, he transitioned that into, you know, carrying products and eventually into a store. And yeah, 70 years later, here we are.
Here we are. So you grew up in the business. So how did that origin story start? Now we've got the company's origin story. What about yours?
Yeah, so I'm the third generation of Ma's that are helping run Wee's Western Wear. The previous generation to me is of course my father and his two brothers, as well as my mom. And so, you know, kind of, you know, this the store, as we like to call it, has really become second nature to me. You know, I like you kind of alluded to, I grew up there. You know, every day after school, I would be shuttled right to the store and be helping customers. So while other kids were, you know, having playtime or you know, maybe playing different sports, I was actually, you know, at the store, you know, doing stock inventory, helping customers, running the till, you name it. And so that sort of immersion into, you know, retail and working in customer service was something that was instilled in me as early as I can remember. So a big part of that, of course, is, you know, how close our family is, having every one of the brothers, as you know, every one of the sons of Wee involved in the business. It just made it so abundantly clear that, you know, this was something as well that you know, would be passed down for generations. And as we would like to say it, you know, a part of his legacy. He was very, very focused on building something that would last the test of time. And definitely we're proud to say that we've continued that on today.
So in the tradition of Yellowstone, The Sons of We is going to be Netflix's next giant hit. That just rolls off the tongue. The Sons of We, the dynasty. Yes. Oh, that's great.
We love that show. So that's a great compliment.
Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So when you were growing up helping with the business, did you connect straight away and say, this is going to be my life's ambition, my life's work, to work with the company Wees Western Wear? Or is that something that grew gradually as you became an adult?
Great question. Yeah, it's definitely something that I wouldn't say was, you know, abundantly clear to me from day one. I think what my family has done a fantastic job of is allowing us to pursue our passions and our interests. So, of course, having the backbone of Wees Western Wear was always, you know, in the back of our mind. And both my brother and I think we had a thought that, you know, obviously the store would be something that was always a part of our life. However, it wasn't really until 2020 when I took a much more involved role in the business. So I'm about early 30s right now. And in 2020, I had recently graduated college. I had been working in actually the tech industry for a few years out of college. And when 2020 hit, was actually the first time due to the pandemic that the store was closed for more than one day at a time. You know, we always kind of famously joke that the only days we're closed are Christmas and New Year's. And 2020 kind of obviously put an extended time horizon to that. So my family, they were, you know, all, you know, for lack of a better word, a little bored. They kind of lacked a little bit of purpose without having the store open. And so at that time, we didn't have any, you know, online e-commerce set up. And so with my kind of background in the technology industry, I actually assisted in kind of spearheading a project to get some of our top-selling products online. You know, I always kind of remember it was some Ariat work hogs and a couple other, you know, work-related items, because we also sell workwear, and put them on a kind of simple Shopify landing page and, you know, announced it to our social media. And lo and behold, it started to attract some of our customers, some of which we even remembered the first names of. And so really kind of fast forward a little bit, it grew brick by brick on the online business, to the point where today it's exceeded our brick and mortar business individually. And it's become something that, you know, we've shipped to, you know, 50 countries. We've, you know, created a full team for just the e-commerce side of things. And as I'm sure a lot of your guests and other retailers know, we're kind of adapted to, you know, the modern age of shopping, which is very much online and through e-commerce. And so we're really proud to have said that we made that transition. And, you know, my role is to lead that side of the business. And both my uncles and my mom, they're very involved with the brick and mortar or physical stores continuing until today.
So COVID hits, and personally and professionally, the world had to make a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn, mm-hmm. depending. Was e-commerce something that was on Wee Western Wear's radar, on your personal radar? How did that whole thing gel and become what it is now? Was it something that you were thinking about? Was it something you had to have a nightmare about or a light bulb moment about?
Well, I think everybody at that time knew somewhat that you needed to be online to be ready for the future. I think the big challenge for Wees was, you know, not only that they didn't necessarily have the expertise, but it was such a daunting, vast task to be able to transition, you know, a 50-year-old store or 60-year-old store at that time into the modern age. And what I mean by that is, you know, at that time, we were quite literally still using a manual till that didn't have, you know, any inventory in it. So this was more than just start a website and try to sell things. It was a whole process of adapting our inventory to a digital kind of format, moving things from, you know, very much a pen and paper process where, you know, we literally did our ordering through pen and paper and our fulfillments and our inventory counts manually to a process where, you know, we would have it on a digital format through the internet and using an inventory software. And so that we looked at as a multi-year project more than just, you know, starting an online website and go. And I think it was really the COVID pandemic that I would say gave a catalyst for us because, you know, hey, we're here, we're available and we have the time now. It's almost a blessing in disguise, I guess, that, you know, we didn't have the store open every day because it's one of those things that you can spend a lot of time on different projects when, you know, you have that much time to invest into your business. And so I guess in a way the COVID pandemic might have been one of the best things that happened to us in our store because it gave us the opportunity to step back and really invest some time into building up our processes and adapting our store to the digital age. And I'm proud to say that we've done that successfully now.
You mentioned that you posted on social media that you were going to be selling online to your customers. How has social media played into this quite literal reinvention of a classic loved Western brand?
Yeah, I mean, social media has been a huge benefit for us. I think, you know, credit to everybody. Everyone has sort of contributed in being on our social media, whether it's our staff, our customers, and even the ownership. But I think one of the most, you know, successful projects we've had on social media is we've recently started telling the story of We on our, you know, on all of our social platforms, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and, you know, kind of telling the story of an immigrant, you know, coming to Canada with nothing saved or you know, not a penny to his name, starting a business and, you know, kind of continuing that into something that has turned into a successful, you know, multi-generation enterprise and really a family business story. I think that's struck an accord amongst our, not only our followers, but really new followers. And we've seen a huge growth in people that have heard of our store. Actually, at the WESA show in Dallas this January, I bumped into several people that recognized me from TikTok or saw me and say, hey, aren't you that guy on TikTok talking about your grandpa? And so I always think that's just awesome and hilarious how, you know, something from a TikTok video or an online little fun social media story can turn into real life connections. And I think that's really what social media is all about.
I think you've hit on something extremely important that many of us miss in regards to social media, in that we look at it as something that is standalone. It's social media. Mm-hmm. But long timers in any industry know that personal relationships are still are the backbone of anything, whether it's personal or business. And using those social media platforms like TikTok to create an icebreaker for the personal relationship. Those people found you on TikTok, but they recognized you. And then you show up at WESA, which is where the industry meets and where those social or those personal relationships are A, formed and B, kept, that allowed that person to know who you were from a distance. And that's the starting point of the personal relationship. So how does social media influence buying strategy? Because as a retailer, buying strategy is very important. So how does social media influence it? Does it, or maybe it doesn't influence it?
It's a great question. Yeah, I think social media has allowed us to reach new customers that aren't just in our local geography. I think, you know, one of the things I've learned since becoming more involved in our business is we had a really good sense of who our customer base was in Central Alberta, where our store is based. But we didn't have a good idea of, you know, how about all those customers that came from across the country or in the United States? And since the e-commerce and the social media have grown, we've actually started to move product that, quite honestly, didn't move to the same degree in our physical stores. You know, whether that be you know, the brand name, or maybe it's hard to get visibility on the floor, but just some things that are what I would consider extremely viral products, honestly, online that move at a significant degree. I think one of the best examples I have is last year, Kimes Ranch released their dark wash in the Olivia Fit, which is probably at this point a legendary jean. And I think we, in our first 48 hours, had to do a restock of that jean just from how quickly it moved on our online store through just a few simple social media posts telling our customers that we had it in stock. And so I think that was exceptional. And yeah, the power of social media actually just, it can't even be, you know, overstated, because I think it has the ability to attract attention in ways that, yeah, it's just hard to do. You know, we've almost completely moved our entire marketing budget into online advertising today. And I think that's really how we see things for the long term.
So we've talked a lot about how becoming an online presence and in a thoughtful, measured way versus throw it up and see what happens has mm-hmm. influenced your selling. How has the social media influenced how you run the brick and mortar store? Is there a flip side to that?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, like I said, we've always had our, I guess, core customer base, you know, like just as we're a multi-generational family running this business, we've had, you know, multi-generational customers that come back and come to shop with us. But we also are starting to find new customers that are driving in from Calgary, which is about an hour away, or people that are coming from BC, which is a few hours away. But what's really crazy to us is recently we've started to find customers from Australia that are on a road trip to Banff, but they needed to make a detour to Red Deer because they saw us on TikTok. And I think a big part of that is, you know, we really have been focused on us standing out from the competition because we are a family-owned legacy brand. You know, we will continue to be family-owned, and we really differentiate ourselves from those big box retailers who might have a more corporate feel or maybe a little bit less of that personal touch. And how we do that is, you know, we feature our employees in fun little skits. We do kind of thought leadership where, you know, we talk about our favorite products and talk about the, you know, benefits, or, you know, as a, you know, people that are very experienced with certain things, they can share their expertise on different products that work at our store, and really show the authenticity of not only our company, but our staff and the people that honestly live and breathe and die by Wheez. We've really created, I think, a great family type environment for all of our staff and all of our team. And that kind of comes out clear even in our social media. And so, yeah, just hearing things like that, you know, people coming from all the way from Australia or New Zealand or across the country and coming to our humble store in Red Deer, Alberta is very, very, very fun to see.
Well, this has been fascinating to learn about Wheez Western Wear, Nathan. So for folks who can't get to Red Deer, Alberta, what is your website address?
You can find us online at wheezwesternwear.com, WEIS westernwear.com. Our Instagram is at Wheez Westernwear, same with TikTok and Facebook. So yeah, we'd be happy to serve you, help you there. Just as I said, you know, you can always talk to a person if you ever need some help finding your size or your product or your selection. And we try to bring that in-person customer service to our online medium as well.
You'll find all of the links from today's episodes in the show notes. Make sure to subscribe to Wisdom by Wessa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss the conversations that shape the equine industry.
Our new schedule, folks, the Wisdom by Wessa and Retail Roundup episodes will drop every Thursday. They alternate. And don't forget, you can subscribe. That way they all show up right on time. And we'll see you next time.